and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They saw that they were naked, and they knew that they had sinned. And to try to cover up their own sins, they made the aprons of the fig leaves that we just read. They tried doing something on their own. And it's a picture of man going about trying to establish their own righteousness and not relying on God's righteousness. And many times, that's what people are trying to do nowadays. They're trying to get by on their own works, on their own goods, their own deeds that they can do, instead of relying on God. In Romans chapter number 10, verse 3 says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And that's exactly what Adam and Eve were doing. Now if you'll drop down to verse number 21, Genesis 3, verse 21, says, "Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them." So here we see a substitute was made. God gave a substitute, and it was through shedding of blood. Something had to die, because that's what God's nature demands. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. There's that death penalty for sin. And God just couldn't overlook that. Something had to die. And God gave them a substitute, gave them the lambs. And he killed that lamb and gave them a covering of lambskin. The next thing that we can see is in Genesis chapter number 22. If you'll turn there, Genesis chapter number 22. We can see that Christ, our substitute, is seen in the offering of Isaac. Genesis 22, starting in verse number 1, says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Here we all know the story that God told Abraham to go make a sacrifice, and that was supposed to be his son. And then if you'll drop down to verse number 8, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." In the story there, we know that he had taken the wood, he'd taken Isaac like God had commanded, and he had fire with him. And Isaac's there like, "Father, we have the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb for the offering? I know that we need to have a lamb." And Abraham said, "God will provide himself a lamb." And we know that later on in the story there, when Abraham was getting ready to kill Isaac with that knife, that the Lord stopped him. And he turned around, and there God had put a lamb in that bush there. And he spared Isaac. He created a substitute there. But also more than that, God himself promised there that he would give himself as a lamb through Jesus Christ. We can also see that our substitute is seen in the Passover in Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter number 12. We start in verse number 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, then let him and his neighbor next unto him, unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." So here we know that God was leading the Jews out of Egypt. He'd already sent the 9 plagues in there. And this was going to be the final thing. God said he was going to kill the firstborn. And God said, "You can have a substitute. Instead of your firstborn dying, I'm going to give you a substitute. And that's going to be a lamb." They took that lamb and they killed it, and we know that the blood had to be shed and put on the doorpost. But if you'll notice in verse number 3, it says, "And shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." It's kind of interesting. It says a lamb. God says that there can be a substitute for your death. And if you notice in the next verse, it says the Lamb. There's a specific substitute that needs to be made. It just can't be whatever you decide to bring. God said it has to be something specific, and it has to be the Lamb. And we know that's the Lamb of God. And then finally in verse number 5, we see that it is your Lamb. We need to take that substitute and we need to claim it as our own. It's not going to do us any good if we just don't claim it. If we don't bring it and say, this is the Lamb that I want to die in my place because of my sin. I'm going to accept His death as atonement for my sins. If we don't accept that, God's going to reject that sacrifice. We can also see that in Leviticus chapter number 1, as we see that Christ our substitute is seen in the law. Leviticus chapter number 1, starting in verse number 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Just again, they had to put their hands on that sacrifice, and they had to claim it as their own. It wasn't going to do them any good if they didn't accept the Lamb's death in place of their own. But you also see there in verse number 3, it says, Let him offer a male without blemish, of his own voluntary will. Christ was that male without blemish, and Christ offered himself freely in our place. If you'll turn over to Hebrews chapter number 10, Hebrews chapter number 10, we're going to start in verse number 5. We see that God has no pleasure in animal sacrifices. Even though God had commanded them to offer them, God still didn't have pleasure in them. Starting in verse number 5, it says, Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. You know, the sacrifices that were made by the law couldn't cover the sins forever. They were not a complete and a perfect sacrifice. God required the sacrifices by law to show us how much of a sinner we are, to show the Jews how much of a sinner they were. They had to continually come and offer a sacrifice. Year by year they had to offer. They could offer a sacrifice, they could turn around and walk out the doors of the temple, the tabernacle, and if they sinned, then they had that sin on their account again, and they became a sinner. So the sacrifices that God commanded them weren't a perfect sacrifice. But in Galatians 3:22 it says, Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. That's why God had commanded them to offer sacrifices, was that they could see that they were sinners and see that they needed a substitute that could cover them for all of eternity. It showed them that they could have a substitute. In same chapter, Hebrews chapter 10, in verse number 1, we see a shadow of good thing to come. It says, For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance, again, of the sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Again, the sacrifices could not cover their sins forever. They had to keep offering them, as I just said, year by year. The priest would continually go in there every year and make a sacrifice for the whole nation. But also, each person would have to go in there on their own throughout the year and offer a sacrifice. And here we see that those sacrifices are a picture. It's all pointing to Jesus Christ. In John chapter number 1, we see John the Baptist. And here he's preaching to the Jews. And he's telling them this. He's going there and preaching, and he's pointing them to Jesus Christ. John chapter number 1, verse 29 says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Here John the Baptist is telling the Jews, this is the sacrifice that was promised. This is what the law is pointing to. This is the perfect Lamb, and He can take away your sins forever. He's here to take away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ's sacrifice is a complete washing away of our sins for all of eternity. Next, we see that Jesus Christ, our substitute, was offered once and for all back in Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 28. "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." The first part of that verse, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." And also, if you'll turn the page to Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 10. Hebrews 10, verse number 10. It says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So Jesus Christ only had to make one sacrifice. He didn't have to continue to offer Himself. He was the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect substitute for us. Jesus Christ had perfect blood. He had the blood of God in Him. It was sinless. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." So those priests, they continued to have to go in sacrifice more lambs, but Christ made one sacrifice for us, and that was good enough. Next, we can see that Christ took our sins in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. When Christ died and made the sacrifice, He took our sins upon Himself. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse number 21. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." And then if you'll turn to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 4. It says, "Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." So here He gave Himself for our sins. He took away our sins. He made them His own. And then another reference is 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 15. Says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." And then Isaiah 53, verse number 6, it says, "The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." So here Jesus Christ took our sins upon Himself. He was perfect and sinless. He didn't have to die, but He came willingly, as it was said in the law, give the voluntary sacrifice. He came willingly because He loved us. And He came and took our sins upon them and took them away from us forever. And if we reject Christ, there's no other sacrifice that we can make to atone for ourselves. We just condemn ourselves to death, to have to pay our own death penalty. Next, if you turn to Romans chapter number 10, we can see that Christ redeemed us from the law. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 4, says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." So Christ fulfilled that law. That law has been done away with when Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And then in Galatians chapter number 3, Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 13. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." So Christ redeemed us from that curse. Galatians chapter number 4, verses 4 and 5 say, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." So Jesus Christ came and He died in our place as our substitute to redeem us from the law. Next, we see that Christ purged our sin in Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1, we can see that Jesus Christ purged our sins. Verse number 3 says, "Who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high." So Jesus Christ Himself, by Himself, was able to purge us of our sins. He was able to wash us and to cleanse us of them and to put them away from us forever. He is our final sacrifice. All of us in here, I believe, are saved. We all claim to be saved. All of us have accepted Jesus Christ as our sacrifice. Just as they would do in the Old Testament when they had to put their hands on that lamb, they accepted Jesus Christ. But you know, there's many people around us that we know that haven't accepted Jesus Christ. There's many people that are like Cain that are trying to bring an offering of their own. He brought the fruit of the land. He brought the best that he had. He didn't bring the sacrifice God commanded. You know, many people are doing that still today. They want to do all their good works and bring that as a sacrifice. They're counting in something else. They're not trusting in the substitute of Jesus Christ. And by only trusting in Jesus Christ and accepting what He did and claiming His substitute as your own and asking Him to take your place is the only way that we're going to be accepted in the sight of God, and we can have our sins purged and washed away from us. And we need to be telling others about that, about Jesus Christ, how He became our substitute. We need to be going out there like John the Baptist and saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." So we know that He is the only way. He is the substitute. There's not multiple substitutes out there. There's only one that God has chosen, and that's Jesus Christ. And next week we will look at the blood of Jesus Christ and what that can do for us. Just don't forget to keep working on Psalms 119, verses 8 through 16, I believe. Or 9 through 16, something like that. The next section there, the second one. You'll know what it is when you get there. That's it. You are dismissed.